What if I told you the flags you walk through on the way to and from the worship center at Fruit Cove Baptist Church don't just represent places and nations? These flags represent people and ministries our church partners with, locally, nationally, and globally. These are some of the faces behind the flags.
Hi, this is Rich Perkins from Bridge Church, Peckham. So thank you from us here in Peckham in South London.
I'm James Copeland, the pastor of Renaissance Church.
Hi, my name is Ben Fleet, and I'm the planting pastor of Voyage Church.
From Montreal, Quebec,
thank you so much, Fruit Cove.
My name is Cedric Lochner. I'm the lead pastor of Dream Church, Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you.
I'm Iulian Avramescu, director of Life Romania. From Bucharest, Romania, thank you.
Hi, I'm Edmondson Vendol, founder of Mercedan Orphanage from Podupe, Haiti. Thank you.
My name is Giovanni Enriquez, and I'm the senior pastor of Iglesia del Camino.
Aquí en Antigua Guatemala.
Here in Antigua Guatemala.
Que Dios los bendiga.
God bless you.
We're sharing the good news with those who have never heard.
In the Horn of Africa.
From the Horn of Africa. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dave Lopez from Cornerstone Miami Church from Miami, Florida. Thank you.
We are the Abners. I'm Chris, and this is Rebecca. We serve with the IMB in Southeast Asia.
Thank you, Fruit Cove family.
Thank you.
We are the De Leonardos. I'm Pastor Alessandro De Leonardo. This baby boy is Adanasio.
I'm Allison, and this is Annalisa.
From Italy, thank you so much, Fruit Cove Baptist Church.
My name is Billy Lowe. I'm the lead pastor at City Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. From Alpharetta, Georgia, thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Junior Martinez, pastor of La Gracia from Yoko, Puerto Rico. Thank you, Fruit Cove.
Hi, Fruit Cove Baptist Church. We'd like to thank you for your support. We love you and we thank you. We are here at the lake. We just had our baptism today.
We love you! Woo!
So the next time you walk through these flags, perhaps walk a little slower. Remember some of these names and faces. Stop, lay your hands on a flag, and pray. Pray for the cities and nations, the people and ministries. Pray for the faces behind the flags.
In a moment, you're going to meet a few more of the faces behind the flags as I'm joined on the platform by some of our partners around the world. And we'll make some introductions here momentarily. But today, we get to celebrate what the Lord has allowed our church to be a part of locally, nationally, and globally when it comes to missions. You know, many of you were in this room 4 years ago when Pastor Tim laid out a plan that we know as Advance 2020. And there are 6 bullet points in that plan, and 4 of those initiatives tie directly into the missions emphasis and involvement of our church. You heard 2 key scripture passages just a few minutes ago that drive the overall mission strategy of Fruit Cove Baptist Church. Let me refresh your memory. The first one is Matthew chapter 28. We call this the Great Commission, where God's word says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Make disciples. And then in Acts chapter 1:8, listen to this. These were the very last words Jesus spoke on earth before he went to heaven to be with his Father, where he remains to this day. So you would think that the last words anybody speaks before they know they are not going to be there anymore, especially on earth, you would think that they would be very important. And that's exactly what Jesus did. His last words were this: "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Locally, nationally, and globally. I've had the privilege of being the missions pastor at Fruit Cove for the past 4 years. And let me tell you, we have some great partnerships around the world with some wonderful people. And what's cool is some of those are tuning in even this morning from around the world. We've got other mission and ministry partners tuning in to this service. But I'm honored to introduce or reintroduce a few of them to you this morning. I'm going to start to my right, your left. We have Pastor Amos Jean-Baptiste from Haitian Redemption Church in Green Cove Springs, Florida. Next, we have Chris and Rebecca A. They serve with the International Mission Board in Southeast Asia. Right beside me is Pierre St. Louis, and he is with Future Generation International Missions in Jacmel, Haiti. And around the horn, we've got Hank and Alex Watson, who also serve with the International Mission Board in South Asia. And Gary, sorry, you're last again, but certainly not least in our hearts and minds. Gary Pate with Pate Ministries in Cuenca, Ecuador. So here's the deal. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and in order to get the most out of our time, we're going to be focusing on what we're going to call the four C's. So for those of you taking notes, here are those four C's. The first one is calling. Some of these will answer the question, tell us about the calling to missions and the current ministry in which you serve. Calling. The second C is commission. How are you seeing the Great Commission accomplished where you serve? Third C is Cove. How does Fruit Cove play a role in what you're doing for the kingdom? And the last C is a challenge to those of us in the audience or watching online or listening on the radio. What would they encourage those to do related to moving to the next steps in their missions engagement? So Chris and Rebecca, we're going to start with you guys. The two of you met when Chris moved to Jacksonville to attend college. So how in the world do you end up going from Jacksonville, Florida to Southeast Asia? Tell us a little bit about your calling to missions.
Highlighted the need for people all around the world to hear the gospel. And it just grabbed my heart, the idea that there were people who had never even had a chance to hear of Jesus' love for them. And so that was the beginning of my journey towards going overseas. And then just as I continued to read the Word of God and see His heart for the nations, His heart for all peoples to know Him, God just called us overseas.
Yeah, I became a Christian when I was in Jacksonville at university. And when I met Rebecca, I knew that God had called me into ministry, but I didn't know any particular area. I wanted to plant churches, but I thought maybe here in the U.S. But as I was studying the scriptures, as I was participating in different ministries in the church, being discipled, God just began to pull back His plan for our life, that He wanted us to serve overseas. And so as we participated in mission trips with our local church, God just confirmed that in our life. And as people who invested in us as mentors and disciple makers in our lives, they confirmed that God's plan for us was to go overseas. So through our local church, we contacted the International Mission Board and asked them to help us prepare to go overseas. And they took it from there.
Another Jacksonville connection is Gary. Gary, you and Dina. Dina is joining us on the front row there. You guys are from Jacksonville as well, Callahan area. And tell us, how did you now serve in Cuenca, Ecuador? So how did that happen, getting from Northeast Florida to Ecuador?
So, yeah, Dina and I are from that two red light metropolis of Callahan. And 30 years ago, I took my first short-term mission trip, and on the way back, God really began to deal with my heart about missions. I came home so excited. Dina didn't go. We had two small children at the time. The next year, she went on her first short-term mission. Dina was a nurse at Baptist Hospital at the time. I was in the business world here on the south side of Jacksonville. But we committed to giving one of our 2 weeks of vacation every year to go to another country and serve in terms of missions. And we began to pray. And for you sitting here this morning, you know God's ways are different than ours. His timing is different than ours. But 21 years later, after going to many countries, we were down in Ecuador, and I've never seen God in person, never heard God speak audibly, but you know when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, I just felt like the Lord said, now is the time. Again, we've been praying 21 years. Came back to Jacksonville. Basically, over the next year and a half, we sold everything we owned, resigned our jobs. We were making more money than we'd ever made at that time, had no debt except the mortgage on our home. And basically, over a year and a half, God helped us raise the money that we needed to go to language school for a year, and then we moved to Ecuador 7 years ago. So just a testimony to God.
Well, Pastor Amos, your church is in Green Cove Springs, just across the river from where we're at right now. So Haitian Redemption Church, what is Haitian Redemption Church doing to accomplish the Great Commission?
Very good. In light of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Acts 1, verse 8, we were praying so that God could send us where the harvest is plentiful. And as we were doing door-to-door evangelism in Green Cove Springs on Sunday, on a Sunday afternoon, we saw so many young people playing dominoes, playing cards. When we asked them why they don't go to church, they said there is only one church in the area for the past 30 years. And when they go there, people make fun of their how they dress, their dreads, you know, how they put their pants behind, you know. So I said, oh, you know what? Come on. So we can have a place we can meet and we can pray about it. As Jesus said, come as you are. You're not going to stay as you are, but you have to come as you are. And once they come, they see the difference and they start conforming themselves. I didn't even ask them to put their pants up. So the Lord did it. So. And we also had, you know, to reach everybody, because, you know, a lot of people coming from Haiti, they have family in Green Cove Springs, and they don't speak English at all. And we, you know, we have found a way through Food Cove to have an ESL class, you know, to teach them from Creole to English. And when they come, we not only teach them English, we minister to them, and we invite them to come to church. And we have seen a tremendous growth since then. So this is how we see how the harvest is plentiful. From the time we started in 2018 and now, the room we're meeting now is too small, so we're praying to have a bigger place. So this is a revival. We thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Hank and Alex, your family is currently staying in our area as you wait for permission to re-enter the country you serve with the International Mission Board. Tell us how you have seen the Great Commission advance where you have served.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us. You know, I just quickly would say the Great Commission seems to move in South Asia the same way it does here, from one person to another. And most significantly, from individuals that are not pastors, elders, deacons, just normal people like you and I, just sharing the good news. And maybe the most effective thing I could do is just to tell you about one of those guys who now runs a small store in his community. His name's Kumar. Right before we left to come back to the States for visa reasons, Kumar said, "Brother, I need one thing for you to help me with." I said, "Okay, Kumar, I will help you." And he said, "Meet me at the corner of 100 Radial Road and Old Mahabalipuram Road, and I'll tell you what I need when you get there." Okay, so I drove and I met there, and Kumar drives up on his scooter, and Kumar gets down, and another man who I had not met got down, and Kumar said, Hank, this is my friend, his name's Torai, and I want you to gospel share to him. Okay, well, I moved here to gospel share, so how often has Torai heard the gospel before? Brother, many times I shared the gospel with him. What do you mean? Well, daily at 6 a.m., I pick him up and I take him to the kidney dialysis center. Brother, he has late stage kidney failure and he will die soon. I sit with him from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. and I gospel share to him the whole time. Yes, brother. What do you do that whole time? I start in Genesis. I go to Revelation. I show him Jesus all the way through. Okay, well, I will gospel share. And, you know, God saves sinners. And so I shared the gospel
with Torai as Kumar stood there with me. All of our eyes filled up with tears. Torai took my hand, placed it on his wrist, and as many of you are aware, there's a heavy stream of blood flowing. You can feel it, and it's almost as if I feel this man's life in my hand at that moment. And he said to me with eyes filled with tears, "I know now I don't need new kidney. Now I need new heart." And in that moment, I realized this is how the gospel moves. This is how the Great Commission transforms lives and goes from one person to another. And so that's what we've seen most significantly, not just mission teams, not just churches, but the people that make those up, sharing the gospel one by one.
Gospel share. Love that. Love that. Pierre, Haiti has been a very special place for a lot of people at Fruit Cove Baptist Church for a number of years. As a matter of fact, it's really one of the first places we started sending missions teams, and it's one of the longest partnerships that we have related to our missions emphasis. So how has Fruit Cove been involved in the ministry of FGIM in Jacmel?
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again for having us here. Really, it started back in the summer, early January of 2015 at the Pastors Conference in Jacksonville, when my wife and I divinely met two members from this church, Ken and Sherry Burnett. They were kind of praying at the time where the Lord would kind of lead them in the country of Haiti, because the original location that they were supposed to go in country kind of fell through. Where we were positioned at the conference, at one of the most obscure times during one of the sessions, they kind of roll around and we meet them. And long story short, we ended up that summer hosting them in Jacmel with about 20 to 25 people or so that year. So since then, they were able to come into our spiritually dark community, where most of the people that are there in Jacmel are really in witchcraft, practicing voodoo, and really far from God. They were able to kind of come into a spiritually dark place and bring the light of Christ and the gospel of Jesus right there. Through vacation Bible schools, they prepared their lessons, and they were able to put together some meal kits to be able to kind of bring out to the surrounding areas to meet the physical needs. But what we started to see as well, it didn't only meet physical need, but it met a spiritual need. Because what happened after that, after they left, after that week, people started to kind of come to our church, and as the pastor and my team and our church leaders, we began to share the gospel with them, and the Lord began to grow that community. So I think that partnerships like that last because it's not built on a superficial foundation. It's built on a Christological one, which is centered on love and relationships. We build a relationship with them, they build a relationship with our people, and the gospel is proclaimed throughout the nations.
Amen. Pastor Amos, our church comes alongside your church largely because of our experiences in and love for Haiti. So how has Fruit Cove been involved in the ministry of reaching Haitians through your church locally?
First of all, I will never stop thanking Dr. Craig of Florida Baptist Convention, through whom I met Fruit Cove, which has been a tremendous blessing for our ministry. I remember in 2018 when we had our first anniversary, our people still talking about your humility, where a big group of Fruit Cove came along. You outnumbered us at that time. We had a good time. We worshiped, and we had a Haitian meal together. And it was great to see, and I have to thank your humble servant, Dr. Tim, Pastor Jonathan, and everybody who went there. You could see the love they manifested for that ministry. They participated in everything. There was no difference. There was no black or white. No, we were all together. And our people felt great that time. And I guarantee you, if you go today to our place, it will take three times of your group to outnumber us now. And I thank God. And Fruit Cove also has been working side by side with us in every step of the way, I can say. Especially when you give up one of your members, the Sister Morgan, who speaks Creole very well. You would think that she was born in Haiti. And it's easier for people to learn from Creole to English, because most of the time they go to school, they teach them from English to English, which is a little bit difficult for them. But it's easier. We can see how easy it was for them to learn from their own language, from Creole to English. And Sister Morgan is very good at that. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your prayers, your finance, and everything you have done. I'm telling you, it's been tremendous help for our ministry. Through the ESL, we not only teach English, we also minister to those people who come, and we invite them to come to church, and we can see how they respond. And you know, this place where we are now, it's like I said before, it's too small. We're looking for a greater space. The challenge is we only have access to that place only on Sunday. So we need a bigger place, where we can have Bible studies, prayers, worship service, especially the ESL class too, which is an outreach ministry beside the door-to-door ministry. In summary, I can say the words are not enough to thank you for what you have done for our ministry to grow, to be where we are, after the help we get from God. And thank you very much for everything. And thank you for Pastor Martin that we meet, Pastor Martin of Warsaw Baptist Church, and he is helping us finding a place. He is in collaboration with Jimmy Wicks, which is the Clay County appraiser. So he's about to help us find a place and pray for us so that we can find a place where we can be on our own. And let me finish by saying that those words that Jesus said to his disciples, in as much as you've done it for one of my brothers and sisters, you have done it to me. And on behalf of Haitian Redemption, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Chris and Rebecca, how have you seen our church come alongside what you're a part of in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, when we think about local church involvement in missions, we often think about praying, giving, and going. And we've seen that Fruit Cove goes. You guys have sent a team to work with us in our city, to work alongside a church that we planted. And the team that came about a year and a half ago was just super encouraging to our people in the church as they went out and did evangelism together. And they may think they just did sightseeing around the city, but really as they walked through the city with our people, they gained a heart for our city. And it was really encouraging for our people and challenging to them to be able to share the gospel in our city with the team from Fruit Cove. So you guys have gone in that way. You've also partnered in our church plant as we were beginning to think through our discipleship plan. Before Zoom calls were a thing, Pastor Neil joined us for a teleconference to help the leadership in our church think through the disciple-making process and how we would do that in our church. So Fruit Cove has been very influential in our church plant from the very beginning. That just celebrated 3 years last week in being a church. We know that you also are giving. You have given to our church on a regular basis to help us establish a gospel footprint in our large megacity in Southeast Asia. And we are always grateful for that as we are using those finances to rent our place that we meet in and to do outreach ministries with unreached peoples around our city. So you've gone and you've given not just to our church, but also to the International Mission Board through the cooperative program in the Southern Baptist Convention. Southern Baptists have been sending out missionaries for 175 years, and the only way that we can do that is by the faithful giving of Southern Baptist churches. So thank you for your financial gifts through the cooperative program and through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
We're also just so incredibly thankful for your prayers. Our country is about 30 hours by flight to get there, but it takes about 2 seconds to intercede before the Father for our place of service and our church family in Southeast Asia. And we are so thankful that you do that. There have been days that we have just been tired and discouraged and worn out, and we'll just get a two-sentence email that says, hey, we're praying for you, we love you, or from the prayer room, one of those prayergrams that someone has written, and you just can't even know the amount of encouragement that provides us and how blessed and encouraged we are to receive that.
Fruit Cove also has a mission house, and our family has been blessed. This is our third time to be able to stay in the mission house during our stateside assignment. And your hospitality to our family has been absolutely overwhelming. You have made us feel so loved and welcome, and have just gone to all these little details of things that our kids are just so thrilled to be in the house. And this is our normal America house, and you make us feel like just welcome and loved, and we're so grateful and thankful for that.
Gary, if you had 2 to 3 minutes to issue a challenge to those in the room, those listening, what would that be? What would you say to someone looking to make the next move in their mission journey?
Well, I think I would encourage our brother and sisters that God's not looking for our abilities, but our availability. In my case, I never finished high school. I never went to college. I never was a pastor. I never served on staff at a church. But I still think sometimes, and I can't believe that God chose to use me in the capacity and my wife the way he's using us. We work with about 1,000 children a month way up in the rural mountains of Ecuador who live off the land, most of them in mud huts or such. There's no stores. We drive 1.5 to 2 hours to get there. And we go up there in 9 different villages and teach Bible lessons. Many of the people who live in Ecuador, they know who Jesus is in their head, but not in their heart. And they're told that they don't need to read the Bible. They're told that they don't need to pray to God, that a man will do that for them. So they don't understand a personal relationship with Jesus Christ like you and I do. And so week in and week out, we drive to these rural mountains again where the children live off the land, and we teach them that Jesus loves them, cares about them, and has a personal plan for their lives. And so I would just encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at in life, no matter how educated or uneducated you are, God has a plan for you. And God is not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. And so maybe he's speaking to you to do something in this church or in your community or where you work. And it's just about sharing the gospel and loving others and sharing our stories, because we all have a story to tell. We all come from different walks of life. And so I just encourage you. And then I guess my second point would be, Brother Jonathan, is that missions isn't simply crossing the sea, but seeing the cross. Think about that for a minute. And again, God just wants us to share our story. And when we see the cross, that's missions, that Jesus died and gave his life for us. And the fact that I was guilty and he was innocent, he paid my sin debt. And so that's our message to the children and the people in Ecuador.
Thank you, Gary. Hank and Alex, we can talk about going to faraway places and sharing the good news, the gospel, with people who have yet to hear it. And that is needed, and that's what we're going to be a part of. But not to the detriment of missing out on opportunities to share the gospel even now where we're at without going on a trip. You were telling me a story about someone who knocked on your door recently. Walk us through that.
Yeah, we just moved into a mission home from a church in McClinney, and we heard a knock on the door. I went to the door, and on the other side of the door was a middle-aged gentleman, and I thought maybe he was the postman, but he was not the postman. And he said, "Sir, I'm here to do the census." And I thought, this will be great. We're homeschooling our kids. They can learn. And he said, "Sir, how many of you all are in the home?" And then I thought, wait, I'm not supposed to tell you how many people are in my home. And so I just wasn't sure. And so I said, "I don't live here." He looked at me and said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, sir, this is not my house." "Well, whose house is it?" "It belongs to a church." "Are you squatting here?" "I'm not sure what I'm doing right now. I'm waiting to go home." "This is a home." So we had a little conversation, and I learned his name was John. And in that few moments, I began to remember the verse that just runs through my heart over and over. Make it your aim to preach the gospel. Make it your aim to preach the gospel. And so Romans 15:20, I just want to meditate on that day by day. And so I looked at John and I said, "John, what do you do when you get off of work?" And he said, "Why are you asking me?" I said, "Well, it's my aim to preach the gospel, John." And he said, "Well, when I get off of work, I go home, I eat dinner by myself, and I get online, and I talk to my friends in Indonesia. I said, "Really?" I said, "I live in South Asia." "Do you? How'd you get there?" by a plane. And he looked at me, and I looked at him. The conversation just opened a little bit, and I learned that John's lonely. At nighttime, he has no one to talk to. And so part of my story is I heard a message from Proverbs 18:24 that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm always thinking, how can I share the gospel? And God has brought this man to me that's lonely. He's got a job to do, but he's going to do the same thing he does every night. Wonder if there's anybody that cares. Well, good news for him. I know someone who cares all the time. And so I'd love to tell you John became a Christian that day, but he didn't. But he did hear the gospel. We did sow the seeds. We did proclaim the good news. And here's what I'd encourage you to do. Proclaim the gospel and start by reading the Bible. I tell our kids every day, read the Bible, pray, and you'll grow. And so that verse for me personally, it's personal. I want to make it my aim to proclaim the gospel where Christ has not been named. Now, I am not Paul. I don't live in that part of Asia. And I realize Paul was speaking about a geographic area. But here's what I learned just a few weeks ago. The gospel had not been proclaimed to John's heart. And God brought him into my life for me to do just that. This is a man who came from the northeast part of the United States 25 years ago, moved to this area. His wife left him, and he's here alone. And God has brought me to this area. I'm not from this area. I live in a house that's on John's route, and he is there in my home to do his job. And I'm there to do the job that God created every Christian to do. And that's to proclaim that good news. And so, would you consider moving in that direction, taking the Bible, not just looking for a life verse for encouragement, but looking for a life verse, looking for movement, that God would move us to proclaim that good news. And so that's our heart. That's what we believe that happens in South Asia and here, right where we are now.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Pierre, last one up. What would you say to someone listening in this room, watching online? How would you encourage them to move to the next spot in their missions journey?
Well, John, I'd encourage them on this statement. Don't let fear hinder you from experiencing the power of God in your life. God intends to use his people to be his hands and feet to the nations, to where you are in your home, in your community. And sometimes fear can hinder us from really experiencing and letting God use us in a magnificent and amazing way. And so let God use you in the way that he wants to use you. Matthew 19:26 teaches us that with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And God can use you to do the most impossible things that will even shock you, because it's not really you doing it, it's him doing it through you. And so if God is calling you to do something, maybe you're afraid, maybe you're scared, maybe you don't know how to do it, don't really worry about that. Let God worry about the unknowns. Just worry about the right now, and God will take care of the rest. Pray about peace with the decision to go. Consult and talk to your missions committee or leaders, and then just go. And trust the Lord will use you in a magnificent and amazing way.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Some of you traveled great distances to be here. Some of you don't want to be here. You're waiting to get... You want to be here, but you'd rather be where you're serving. But we're so glad the Lord worked it out for you to be here with us at Fruit Cove this morning. We are a church. Fruit Cove Baptist Church loves missions, and we love missionaries. So Fruit Cove, let's show a little love for these guys. As a missions pastor, the top three responses I get from someone, from an adult, who gets back from their first ever mission trip, top three comments are these, in order. Number one, this experience changed my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Number two, I wish I'd participated in missions sooner. And number three, I wish I would have involved my family more in missions. So this morning, no matter what your age, what can you do? How can you move? Here are a couple of potential action steps we want you to consider. First of all, connect with some of these partners. as a church, we know who these guys are. We believe in them, and we've come alongside them. And so we would love for you as individuals and families to get to know them as well. After the service, they're going to be at the pavilion. Go and stop by their table. Have a conversation. Pray for them on a regular basis. Communicate with them. You heard Rebecca talk about the importance of a prayer gram. That's something anybody can do, no matter what age, and means a lot to the recipient. Come alongside them, develop a relationship, connect. Second thing, potentially, that you can do is listen for opportunities to go. Before long, you're going to hear opportunities to go on mission trips with Fruit Cove Baptist Church. It's been a while since we've been able to do a mission trip, but we're getting ready. We're getting ready to go to places like Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, Miami with existing partners. It could be with a new partner in the western part of our country. Think along the lines of the Rocky Mountains or the hometown of Anchorman in Southern California. It could be with new partners like Ecuador. Brother Gary and I were walking through the columns of flags on Wednesday. He was here for a midweek missions moment, and we were getting ready for that. And I was telling him the flags on the video that we started out with. I said, yeah, these represent the places and ministries that we partner with. And some of you already know this because you're the organizing, your personality. You know that actually there are six columns out there that don't have a banner wrap around them. We have six left. And as soon as I learn how to put this one on, Gary, Ecuador is going to be on a column because we are planning to go to Ecuador and come alongside you guys in September on our first mission trip as a church to Ecuador with Pate Ministries. And we're looking at that actually being through our women's ministry, a group of ladies going not even a year from now, less than a year. So be listening for opportunities to go to places just like that. And third, commit. Commit to mobilizing yourself and your family. When I was in high school, Nike came up with a campaign. It was a slogan. It was three words that not only changed the shoe industry, it changed my outlook on life. It changed a lot. And some of you are grinning and you're mouthing the three words, just do it. Just do it. We see that in Scripture as well. Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go. I don't know where, I don't know when, but God, prepare my heart, prepare my mind. I want to go. So commit to mobilizing yourself and your family on a mission trip, or as you go on vacation, a weekend trip, we'll give you permission to miss a Sunday as long as you find a church plant, a ministry partner, and you go worship with them. Your presence can bring such encouragement to some of those churches. You have no idea, and you will be blessed as well. Be intentional. As you go, you're making disciples. On a business trip, we have individuals in our church, when they go to places like Montreal or Miami or Atlanta, they make it where they do a route where they can connect with one of our church plant partners, one of our ministry partners, take them to coffee, take them to lunch, and just invest in them and bless them. If you're watching online, or if you're in this room, if you're listening, I want you to write this number down, 904-747-3125. 904-747-3125. This is how we want to start a conversation with you. If you're interested in, okay, first of all, text the word MOVE to that number, M-O-V-E. If you're interested in what does it take for me to move to my next level of engagement and missions, you text MOVE to 904-747-3125, and we'll have someone from our missions team start a conversation with you. What does that look like for you individually or as a family? In a few moments, we're going to sing one more song. And if you're in this room this morning, I want to encourage you to come down and speak with Pastor Tim. Perhaps you'd like to join Fruit Cove Baptist Church. Maybe you've been our guest for the past few weeks, but you've heard, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is Fruit Cove Baptist Church. And you want in. You want to be a part of it. We would love to talk with you and share how you can be a part of our fellowship. Perhaps you need to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ this morning. Whatever that decision is, after we pray, we invite you to move, to come front. Let's pray. Father, it's been so good to be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the brothers and sisters that join me on the platform. God, thank you so much for your call on their lives. Thank you for what you are doing in and through their ministries. And we just pray just your abundant blessings on their families right now. God, there are individuals that are listening, that are watching, that are in this room, Father, that you are calling. It could be calling to move somewhere, to change vocations, to consider a mission trip, to just start asking questions, to join this church, to follow you. Father, whatever you're leading, Father, I just pray that our hearts and minds are sensitive and open, God, and that we would take that step you've called us to this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and the opportunity to serve you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.